Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Jace Lejeune is our co-host today in-house, our editor. He's now the new play-by-play announcer for Episcopal Baseball. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Appreciate it.
Those 3 o'clock games come early.
Oh, a lot of them. A lot of early afternoon games coming up for me.
At least 2 a week during the day, at least. Maybe 3.
So. Yeah, at least not for football. I get to go home like at 6, 7 o'clock rather than 11 o'clock at night. So there's benefits to that.
So this first segment, I'm going to get through it real quick so we can have a segment. We're going to be talking about the USFL draft, which I didn't even know about till you told me the other day. I did grow up watching the USFL. I'll mention that. Then we'll talk about, you know, LSU-Kentucky, the game of basketball. We'll talk about LSU-Louisiana Tech baseball. And in my opinion of baseball, I watched the 3 games against Maine, so I got a feel of the team a little bit, like a lot of guys. And then we'll talk about the signing classes for Northwestern State Natchitoches for football and Southeastern Lions. Jace's alumnus of Southeastern, so we'll save them for last. In this segment, we're going to start and go ahead and talk about LSU-Kentucky basketball. Here's my 2 cents, Jace, and to the people listening. I've been following LSU basketball since I was really young, and I guess when I really knew kind of what was going on was probably 78, 79, 1980. You know, that's kind of when I kind of figured it. Me and my dad were huge fans, and I played basketball. I was just not real tall, but I was, you know, always loved basketball. But here's the deal. Kentucky won the game with no point guards.
Yeah.
Now, I was hoping LSU could beat them without their point guards. LSU has one really good player right now, and that's X Pinson, who's their guard. He had his best game as a Tiger last night.
Right. Xavier Pinson had his best game. Unfortunately, that was pretty much the best effort we had.
Tari Eason did not show up in a big game. He fouled out early. He did not have a good game. This is where he's got to show up. They don't have a big-time intimidator down low. They do not have a great shooting team. And when Gaines comes into play, I love Gaines. I love his effort, but he can't shoot. This team has a lot. They're getting the most out of what they have, Jace. Will Wade's probably taking more heat from fans about his coaching, but when you don't have a good shooting team, you don't have an intimidator down low, and you have one point guard, and Kentucky didn't have their point guards and still beat LSU. Now, it was at Rupp Arena. I get that. And they blow big leads all the time. I mean, they had Kentucky about 12 points at one time, and they've always had big leads, even the games they've lost, except maybe Vandy and maybe Ole Miss this year. But, look, if you're an LSU fan, I grew up an LSU fan in baseball and basketball, football. If they can just get to the NCAA tournament, I'm not a mind reader, but if I could probably guess, Will Wade's thinking, just get me in the NCAA tournament and let's just win a game. He'll never say that, but I think he's just, you know the old word, fake it till you make it? He's continuing to just mine it, he's got to keep LSU behind Kentucky and Auburn now. And he's got to stay up there with Tennessee and Florida, and he's got to, it's stressful. And until he can put together the team he needs, which it looks like it might be next year, his most talented team, he's got to get some guards. Pinson leaves after this year. Gaines is not a point guard still. He's just an aggressive, great defensive player.
Yeah.
That hopefully can learn how to finish layups one day, because he'd get 20 points a game if he could finish layups.
Especially. Oh, yeah.
But this team has too many question marks to go deep in the NCAA tournament. If they just make the NCAA tournament, I think it's a great accomplishment, even though they started I think people are unhappy, Jace, because they started 15-0.
Yeah, the way they started to non-conference, they were really, and especially some of the games they won non-conference are pretty impressive. These are NCAA tournament teams, a lot of them that they played. But, yeah, I mean, it's just you can tell some of the weaknesses, the glaring weaknesses LSU basketball has had this year. And, yeah, I mean, it was disappointing to have Tari Eason foul out. And, I mean, he was really their most consistent player until Xavier came back.
Well, pro scouts, you know, they're at that game and they're probably going, okay, Where's that great player last night against, you know, Rupp Arena on the road? They don't have the point guards. And Kentucky shut LSU out down low. They're like, okay, beat us outside. because you're not coming down low. They just stopped down low. And, you know, if LSU missed a shot, the rebound was probably going to Kentucky. And if Kentucky missed a shot, they were probably getting the rebound. They just – LSU does not have a presence down low.
Yeah, they're much bigger.
And Darius Days, I love him. I love him. I'm glad he came back. I think he's a great kid. He's not an elite player. He's just a solid, great guy that has stuck around for – five years, and I think the world of the kid, but he's just not an elite shooter.
Yeah, also. He can be streaky, but there's a lot of times that he does struggle, and sometimes in those games he struggles. It's hard for LSU to really get enough offense around that.
And you know what, Jace? He had a better junior year than a senior year.
Mm-hmm, yep.
His shooting has been off this year. I mean, he's not even streaky right now. So
right.
I hope Days can find that magic, especially if they make the NCAA tournament, because they're going to need him to make threes, because Pinson, he showed off what he can do.
Yeah.
Pinson made some money last night. I think he's going to possibly get drafted.
Yeah, if everything can come together for this LSU basketball team, they're talented enough. I mean, but everything has to come together. Xavier has to be you continue to do what he's doing. Tari Easton needs to show what he's been showing prior to this Kentucky game. And if Gaines gives you that hustle defensively, and I think that's another thing too, it's the press. That's the key for LSU. If the press defensively, that sparks the offense for LSU.
Yeah, but, you know, Kentucky showed last night that you can't press them.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't press them. Late, they kind of got sloppy. But you can't press good teams, especially good passing teams. And I think LSU, if they can just win an NCAA tournament game, that's an accomplishment. I really do with this team. This team overachieves.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the USFL is coming back. Jace is all into that, and I'm kind of into it a little bit now that he brought it up. And I watched the USFL back in the day like a lot of people listening. We'll talk about that when we come back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Before we get to the USFL League, and Jace wants to talk about the draft. He followed the draft. Their second time coming back with a draft. I want to thank a sponsor of ours, John Harvey Toyota, looking for a used car. Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Please give them a call, John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Tell them Lee sent you over there to support our show, support them. They're big high school, college supporters in Louisiana. Jace, the USFL had their draft, and I'm going to be honest, you watched it or you looked at it. I didn't watch it, but I know the names, but you told me Shea Patterson went first pick from Calvary Baptist, went to Ole Miss, Michigan, quarterback.
Yeah, I told you about like the day of, and I was like, I'll keep track if there's any Louisiana guys that get selected. And it turns out the first overall pick was a Louisiana guy and Shea Patterson, so that's pretty impressive. And actually, there were back-to-back Ole Miss quarterbacks, former Ole Miss quarterbacks, that went 1 and 2 because the second pick was Jordan Tiamu. That was the Ole Miss quarterback a couple years ago.
Had a good game against LSU.
Yeah, he did. So, a lot of Louisiana ties, and there are a couple Louisiana Tech players that signed. O'Shea Douglas was a lineman for Louisiana Tech. Jamar Smith, that started 4 years at quarterback.
Mississippi native.
Yep, he got signed by Birmingham Stallions. Kevontae Turpin from Neville.
Yeah.
He's got another chance with the New Jersey Generals.
I wish the best for him because he missed his senior year with some suspension problems in TCU. That kid's electrifying. This gives him another chance. And, you know, the guy, O'Shea, was a Northside high school graduate, big old lineman. It gets another. And this league, it's different than the first time around, Jace. The first time around, they had big money. You know, you had, like, Donald Trump as an owner. Mm-hmm. You had the Houston Gamblers. You had the Los Angeles Express. You had the New Orleans Breakers with Marcus Dupree.
Right, right.
But when Herschel Walker signed with the USFL out of college and duck the draft, that was a big deal.
Yeah, that made like the NFL and the USFL was a threat the first time around to the NFL,
and it was a good league. And Jim Kelly was with the Houston Gamblers. He chose the USFL over NFL when he was at Miami. He was a big deal. I remember Tremaine Johnson that played at Grambling, and it's from Baker, Louisiana. He was an all-world receiver. He chose the USFL over the NFL. There were several big names.
Yeah, Steve Young.
Steve Young went to the Los Angeles Express.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think that helped him because he showed his running ability, ran for like 3,000 yards in the league. And then when he went to the 49ers, he took over for Montana. He was ready.
Right.
But they were so close. So like you said, being an established league, they had money.
Mm-hmm.
They had the right jerseys. I hope the jerseys are the same. I didn't check it out yet, but I hope the cities are, I guess, the same.
Yeah, it's a lot of the same teams, like the New Orleans Breakers. They're back. The Birmingham Stallions, the New Jersey Generals. I mean, it's a lot of the same teams from the first time around, so at least it gives a lot of fans that grew up in your era that can watch it again because they remember those teams.
Well, Birmingham Stallions, just a Louisiana tidbit for you, just I'm doing this off of my memory, Jace. Mm-hmm. They had a quarterback who went to LSU, Robert Lane's dad, Bob.
Yeah,
Lane. Bob,
that's right. We did a whole big story on it.
Yep. Bob Lane went to Neville, and, you know, people don't remember Bob Lane, but I do. He was the starter for the Birmingham and did phenomenal, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They had these cool, like, reddish jerseys, and it's kind of like an Alabama, but it was kind of red and kind of a gold helmet there. And the Breakers were like a black jerseys. I remember with Kelly.
Right.
And I believe Tremaine Johnson was with Jim Kelly, but Herschel Walker ran for like 10,000 yards in the USFL.
Yeah, yeah, he dominated. And like you said, you mentioned Marcus Dupree. They call him what the best that never was.
Yazoo
you
City, know? Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah, played for New Orleans. He signed a big contract. I mean, they were plucking a lot of the best talent there was in college from the NFL. So
this, I hate to say it, but this is more of a
developmental.
Developed league. But, you know, it's like NFL Europe. That was a good one for about, what, 10 years?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think this USFL might be the only one that can make it because it is getting a little crowded. Not everybody can go to Canada.
Right.
But not everybody wants to play in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a different country. They don't want to live. It's cold.
Yep.
So now you have an option. Do you want to go to Canada? You want to play in the USFL? But here's the thing. USFL, if I'm just guessing, I hadn't looked at the details.
Right.
I'm guessing they got more money than these last 10 or 12 leagues that have tried to start.
Yeah, yeah. It was like they are pretty established, and they're actually this year, I think they're playing, all these teams are playing in Birmingham just to make sure that, you know, they won't go bankrupt or anything else happen. So they'll play in two different stadiums, even though it involves like eight different cities. So all the games, regular season games, will be played in the same city.
I'm going to actually watch these games because it's still got a big heart to me of my old days. When I was like 13 years old watching Herschel Walker with the Generals.
Yeah.
And it was really, it blew my mind that Herschel signed with Donald Trump.
Yeah, over the NFL.
Gave him all that money. But
yeah,
I always said that Herschel Walker, if he would have went straight to the NFL,
mm-hmm.
he would hold the all-time record in yards over Walter Payton
yeah.
and Emmitt Smith because he left a lot of his running
right.
in the USFL.
And he still had over, what, 10,000 yards rushing in the NFL. So,
but if you combine it.
Yeah.
He had the most rushing yards ever by a per running back. Mm-hmm. If you combine the USFL and NFL, he had over 20,000 rushing yards.
Yeah, that would have been over Walter Payton, yeah.
And he still played at, like, mid-30s.
Yeah, he did. And it's going to be interesting, too, when the XFL with The Rock. The Rock owns XFL, and that
Does
comes
he?
Next year. So you're going to have, yep, mm-hmm. So
He's
Dwayne
got,
The Rock Johnson owns that.
I got to mention something. I wasn't big into The Rock going out before the Super Bowl, acting like a MMA fighter announcing stuff. It didn't fit, man.
It was kind of awkward, to be honest
with you. And I think Joe Burrow even said, what is that? What's going on with that?
He said he liked his shoes, though.
You know when a boxer comes in the gym, they're like, we're in this corner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that fits football.
I get why they did, because it was in Hollywood, and they used to doing all these big boxing matches.
Get ready
and stuff.
To rumble.
Get ready to rumble. You have that guy usually do it there.
And guess what they're gonna do in his league? Get ready to rumble.
Oh yeah, so that will be next year. So you'll have the USFL and the XFL in the same time in the spring. So, and one more thing to throw out: two more LSU guys signed with a USFL team, and that's Vidal Alexander. So he signed with the USFL team.
Was with Oakland way back.
Yep. And then Derek Dillon, so
yeah,
former
Derek
receiver.
Dillon from Tangipahoa Parish.
Yep,
played at Varnado High School.
So they'll get opportunities too.
He made the Giants team for a couple of years. That'll give him another shot. And actually, this will give people a resume builder to get a free agent contract that'll develop into money. Look, if you make a team in the NFL, the minimum's now like $700,000 or something, yeah, like $800,000. Mm-hmm. That's not bad money to be just on the team.
Yeah, no, it's not.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about LSU baseball, and then we'll get to Northwestern State recruiting class and Southeastern, the Lions and Ham, and we'll finish the show with their signing class. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medine's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. Before we start talking about LSU baseball and give you my 3 cents, I'll watch the main games. I did not watch Tech. I did hear it. But I want to talk about Treads and Care Tire Company. Thank you for your support, Devin Holly, locally owned and operated. Been in business for several years. They do pickup and delivery. They're on the corner of Hooper Road and Park Place Drive in Central. And make sure you go in there and talk to them. We actually had one of their representatives on our show, Jace, 2 weeks ago that did a great job, Chico Moore.
Yep.
They've been in business since 1971. They're family owned, like I said, by Devin Holly, and beautiful place there on Hooper Road and Park Place Drive. Give them a call, 225-331-8144. Again, 225-331-8144. They'll take care of all your tire needs, and they have pickup and delivery, which is very important. Jace, LSU baseball, I watched the main series. Here's my thoughts on baseball. You got football fans that are trying to be baseball fans, and they get real upset.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you have baseball fans. I'm more of a baseball fan that is a football fan too. But I understand baseball. It's a long year.
Yeah, it's more laid back.
And it takes 20 games to develop your team because you got like 70 games almost. But they did get pounded by Tech, right? Tech, kudos to them and Rustin. They put up 11 runs.
They're a good team.
They're very good. And look, they gave Arkansas all they could handle last year. And they beat Ole Miss last year. I think they beat like 3 top 10 programs last year. You go play Tech, you better be ready to play. And LSU wasn't ready. And you know what's good about this? If you think you're great and your head blows up and you just beat Maine and had a record 51 runs, now you get back to the planet Earth to where you go, you know what? We're not quite there yet. And the pitching staff, you don't throw your starters. You throw the fourth guy or the fifth guy. So you kind of, maybe he's not my midweek guy anymore to start, which was his reliever at Arizona. So you're just experimenting. The one thing that's really shocking, though, they had 6 errors.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, so.
A lot of it's just routine plays, too. Like typical throws to first from third and short from shortstop to first. I mean, it's.
Even if you cut the errors out, it still might be like an 11-10 game. You know,
yeah.
It's still a close game. But you know what? Again, if you're a football fan that likes baseball, don't get your blood pressure too high right now because, you know, it's early. And this team has the hitters, and it was cold. And when it's cold, you don't pitch well.
Yeah, and that actually probably affects the fielding too, with it being so cold. And it was wet. There was a lot of moisture on the field,
too. And I took Tech went through that also, but I give them credit. And Tech's like playing an SEC team.
Yeah, you can't make that many mistakes and expect, especially on the road against a really good baseball team, to come out with a win. And that's why Louisiana Tech did so well.
And like I said, you come back down to earth and say, you know, we're not there yet. We're not going to go 55-0 during the season. And
that's impossible.
LSU's got to find their third, fourth, fifth starter. They got to find the middle relievers. They got to find their closers to make sure it's Fontenot, whoever's going to Resselman, who got kind of banged up a little bit there, gave up 3 runs. But I mean, you know, this happens. I mean, I remember Mississippi State last year. Had like 10 or 11 losses going into, the SEC tournament. They weren't perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they turned it on. They turned it on when they needed to turn it on. They won the national championship their first.
Well, there is any good news coming out of this. They've definitely found a replacement for their DH because Braden Joubert's.
He's good.
He's really good.
You know, Coach told me he was good on one of our podcasts out of North Shore High School. And, you know, the guy was a starter at Nichols. He had a home run against LSU at Nichols.
Yeah, he did.
Then he went back to Delgado, and he came and sat out. He wanted to be an LSU Tiger. And, look, there's too much talent on this team But we have a lot of football fans that they want to win every game, and I understand that, but they're not going to win every game in baseball. And by the time they get to SEC play, they'll have it figured out. I really, truly believe that. They will do well in the SEC. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Northwestern State's football signing class, and then the last segment, Southeastern Lions, Jace's Southeastern Lions in Hammond. Coach Frank Selfo is doing a good job there, a great job there. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144. Family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. We're going to talk about Northwestern State signing class. I want to thank another sponsor, Medin's Collision Center. Be sure to give them a call for a paint job or any body work you need on your car or truck. They're your Baton Rouge accident advisors. Give them a call at 225-357-7983. That's 225-357-7983. They're family-owned. They're great people, Chris and Domenica Medin. They'll take care of anything you need. And, you know, when I do need a paint job, I'm going to go to them. And hopefully I don't get hit and have any dents. But if I do, I'm going to them. And they're located on 5275 Kincaid Avenue in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Give them a call. Jace, Northwestern State, they have struggled the last 5 years in football.
Yeah, and I actually called a game last year. And before the game, I had all my notes ready. I was ready to call the game. Their SID comes in. So, this guy didn't travel. This guy didn't travel. Like, they had about 30 guys there, really, for that Southeastern game. And it's been a struggle for them the last couple of years.
Well, let me just say this. And I've been kind of hard. And I'm blunt. You know, I'm a blunt. I think people like truth and honesty, but you know, Brad Laird's getting a chance that not a lot of coaches get. You know, he gets that extra year. Most guys get fired, you know, with two bad years or three bad years. He had three bad years in a row, and he's getting another chance. And you know what? I want him to make it because Brad was a high school coach in Louisiana for a long time, and he was at Northwestern.
He's one of their own. He played there.
I like the guy.
Yep.
And you want him to succeed. You don't want anybody to get fired. And I hope he does make it because he's getting a rare opportunity to get another year. You know, Jace, they don't do that anymore, Harley. If you have three bad years in a row, usually you're gone.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of these ADs have ever heard the word patience.
No.
So, it's really kudos to really their administration saying that we believe in our guy and we'll give him another chance and to see the turnaround. Because especially with football, it's not going to just be a one-year turnaround. It's a process. So, yeah, it's good to give him that extra year and see what he does with that extra chance.
With that being said, the recruiting class, I'm only going to talk about Louisiana players, but I think they got a steal with T.J. Johnson, the receiver from Alexandria High School, 6'4", 190. I've seen him play. He's a great kid. I think he's an NFL guy. He'll be 200 pounds in a year. He'll be a big guy that can run, can catch.
You were high on him like his junior year. Yeah. Like you saw a scrimmage, I believe, in this junior season. And it's like, man, he has a chance to be really good.
I think TJ's got everything you need. I don't know why he didn't get more D1s. Who cares? He's going to play there. He's going to get to play this year. They also got a sleeper, I thought, in Torrey Morgan from Edna Carr, a linebacker, four-year starter for them, who's about 5'11", 220, and can really run. Tough kid. I think he had 300 tackles at Carr.
Yeah, anybody you get from Edna Carr, that's a plus.
That's a plus.
That's a plus, getting a starter from that program.
And then they got two other kids from Louisiana, Jason. London Williams in their backyard at Manny, who's a running back. I think he's going to be a good player for them in time because they're stacked at running back at least.
Yeah, they have really good running backs.
And then Danny Sears, I thought, was a real big-time pickup from St. Paul's. He's a really good fullback or linebacker. His brother played there as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Danny's a D1 fullback, Mike linebacker. So, I mean, considering the year they had, getting guys like that in state is good. It means they're keeping it going. Now, they didn't, you know, I wouldn't say they had an A-plus year or A, but for what the kind of years they've had, and I know some of the Texas guys, I didn't see them play, but I know that they got some really good program guys. This is really like a B grade in recruiting, considering you didn't have a good year.
And you mentioned those three guys, Lee, and what sticks out about those three guys, that's been the positions when I've called Northwestern State games and covering them. That's been really your three strongest positions over the last couple of years, linebacker, running back, and they love these big, tall wide receivers like Jazz Ferguson and guys like that, and TJ Johnson's another big, tall receiver. And, yep, those have been probably their three strongest positions the last couple of seasons.
Again, I want Brad Laird to make it. He's a Louisiana guy. I mean, he's been our head coach at Ruston High School. He was at Northwestern State as an assistant prior to this for a long time when Scott Stoker was there in Bradley Del Pivoto back in those days. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got one more segment. We're going to talk about Southeastern Lions football signing class. These are the last two we got to cover for the year.
That's right.
And Southeastern's killing it, man. They are picking their players right now. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Gros Savon Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savon Lodge has fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and echo tours located south of Lake Charles, Louisiana. Give them a call at 337-598-2357. That number to call again is 337-598-2357, and have the time of your life. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Our co-host is Jace Lejeune, who's actually got a baseball game today to cover for Episcopal against Church Point.
Yep.
Want to give a little plug to them, both programs. Seems like Church Point and Baton Rouge is real strong with football and baseball matchups.
Those are two programs that are really good at baseball, and also the football programs did pretty well. Episcopal had an undefeated regular season and made the quarterfinals, and Church Point, they were right there again to make another chance at the Dome.
Let me mention two more great sponsors of our show. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for these people. And Gage. Gage has served Louisiana for over 40 years. Let Gage create a custom tailored solution for your business and become your partner in technology. Give them a call today at 225-753-4243 and help your business get better connected with Gage. And also Savon, man, Gros Savon Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savon Lodge, fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and echo tours located south of Lake Charles, Louisiana. I've been there. You got to do it. You got to book a trip. Give them a call at 337-598-2357. That's 337-598-2357. Or you go to the website www.grossavon.com for more information. I fell in love with that place, fishing. I'm not as much of a hunter. I guess I don't do that, but fishing, my goodness, it's the greatest place I've ever been in my life if you want to catch fresh or saltwater fish. Okay, Southeastern. Jace, you graduated from there. You do their football games the last couple years there, home games, maybe some away games. They're kind of picky now in recruiting. They can be. They're winning. Now it's about keeping it going at quarterback because Cole Kelly's moved on. They tend to find a way to get a quarterback.
They do. They're probably one of the best in the FCS, which is plucking Division I quarterbacks that come over to Southeastern, and you know, guys like Brian Benn past couple of years.
Morgan.
And then now with Cole Kelly, and they just do a really good job of evaluating talent and bringing that talent and convincing them to go down to Southeastern.
I want to say this, and I want to mention this. And I'm so proud, and I'm glad it gets back feedback. And I want to mention this with this kid who signed with Southeastern from Baton Rouge, Mentorship Academy.
Yep.
Veron Douglas, his mom reached out to me personally about a month ago, and she made my world. She said, Lee, when Jace did an article, because the article that you wanted done on Veron, by him having an article on your site, the college coaches admitted reading that article and offered him a scholarship.
That's great. That's awesome. That's awesome.
So, yes, it does work to get interviews and scouting. And even though the college coach might not say anything, they told the mom that's how we found out about your son, through Lieber King giving it to Jace to
get an interview. Yeah, that's awesome. That's great to hear.
I didn't tell you that, I don't think.
No, that's the first time I've heard about it. So, I feel really good about you. Kind of made my day, Lee. That's great.
It helped him get a scholarship. And then let's go to the other Louisiana guys. By the way, Veron is 6'4", 200 pounds. Yeah. I watched him as a junior, and I ranked him as a D1 guy, and he's going to 1AA Southeastern. He's going to be a stud. He runs a 4.6. He runs like a 4.5 on field. He's long. He's going to be about 220, Jace. He's probably going to be a linebacker.
Yeah.
And he's going to look like an Arden Key when he's done, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be scary to see what Southeastern's defense does with him.
And then another scary guy they got on offense, I think the most electrifying player in the state outside of our guy Edna Carr,
mm-hmm.
was Jordan Doucette from Westgate. Westgate, I mean, Jordan Doucette was all world this year.
Yes.
He had like a Puka Williams year for them.
And what's going to be scary, Lee, is because covering last year, you have Gage Larvadane, mm-hmm. and you have him in the slot, have both of them in the slot. Oh, my goodness. I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback next year. It could be the transfer from South Alabama. That was usually more of a running quarterback. But whoever is the quarterback next season, they're going to have some pretty good targets to throw the football to.
I think Southeastern is going to pluck one up after spring's over in college. They're going to get a great second teamer that don't want to stay, like a Finley coming back, somebody like that. I just stay tuned on that.
We'll see if it's Cephas Johnson, that was the quarterback from South Alabama, or they go and get another D1 transfer. Yep.
I do like Cody Finley. Speaking of, you think that was a smart signee?
Yeah.
So you signed Cody Finley, whose brother went to LSU and now at Auburn.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. There you go. So Cody Finley's a 6'5 receiver from Ponchatoula. And if Finley's not happy at Auburn, guess what? My brother's on the team at Southeastern.
That would be a perfect fit, and especially Finley is a big, tall. I mean, he's, great arm. And guess who was just like that? Cole Kelly, who came from Arkansas. So it's just a similar mold, and he can have that successful type of career if he decides to transfer back.
But with the brother being there, good possibility.
Smart thinking.
Ian Goodley, a DB from Covington. I love him. Jay Saw ranked him high. I think he's one of the best safeties in the state that nobody talked about. Ian Goodley, big pickup. And Derek Rodeo Graham, Jr., running back from U High, big-time steal here. 6'215". It was really, with him and all the running backs they had at U High, it was just hard to see who was the best player, but he's a good player.
And they really needed a running back, so that was a really good pickup. And I know they got Kyle Edwards, too, from Alabama, so they're getting some pretty good running backs, too.
They picked up Caleb Proctor, the best big linebacker in the state out of Oak Grove. They went up to North Louisiana and got him. He's 6'3", 255, runs a 4.6. Wow.
He was playing linebacker.
Right. He'll play DN at Southeastern, but he's got a chance to play right away. Logan Potter, I like him from Covington. I've always liked Logan Potter. He's an O-lineman. He's a guard, I think, 6'5", 290, can move. And St. James, they got one of the top kickers outside of Dupree from Catholic High and our kicker at Loyola Prep. Alex Mahler from St. James, 4-year starter. And made 90% of his field goals, made 7 over 50, and 90% on kickoffs in the end zone. I think he'll start.
Yeah, and when we do these questionnaires every year with the coaches, and this is talking to Coach Valdez, we'll have on our show in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And just look at all the great players that Shaz Preston and the defensive end, a couple Savion Jones a couple years ago. The first guy that Coach always brings up is Alec Mahler. That's the first guy he always brings up every year we do the questionnaire. So it shows you how much of a weapon he really is.
And Southeastern thinks they signed the best kicker in 20 years. I was kind of not all agreement on that. I think Wade Ritchie was one of the best ever.
Yeah.
John Marino.
He's pretty good, though.
Corbello. But, yeah, he's in that group.
Yeah.
They also got K.K. Reno out of Catholic of New Iberia.
That's a big pickup, too.
I mean, this is – I don't know if they're reading my magazine, Jason.
Yeah, I think they are.
These are all guys that I was pumping that weren't ranked. But K.K. Reno is growing into a linebacker. He's 6'2", 220. He started as a quarterback. He was a receiver. He was a DB. You know what's crazy? His freshman year, Jace, he was 170 starting as a freshman at a Catholic New Iberia and did great. He's 220 now running a 4.5 at 6 foot. Linebacker. I mean, these are all steals. And here's one more. They got a transfer from John Arrett that originally was a John Arrett high school kid who went to a junior college.
Yep.
And they picked up a DB. And I'm trying to see my
notes here. Kunta Hester.
Kunta Hester. He's ready to plug in and start. He's 6'1", 185. And I thought he was great in high school. I saw this kid play.
It needs some, Lee, because I think they lost a couple of defensive backs in the portal. So replace some guys like Veron Douglas and Kunta Hester, who has JUCO experience, and you have Zy Alexander, Blaindell, who's a couple of guys like that. The secondary could be pretty good.
And this is not counting the walk-ons. This is not counting late signees. This is just the guys from February 3rd and early. You know, Southeastern, like a lot of people, and Northwestern, they're going to hold 7-8 scholarships. And in about a month, you'll see some more portal guys get them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they're holding them for those guys.
Yeah, and Frank Selfo and his staff, the last couple of years, all have been calling. Their top guys have been transfer portal guys. So I would not be surprised that they get a lot more guys coming in through the portal.
If Auburn doesn't name Finley the starter in spring,
because he would be a perfect fit for what Southeastern does, considering they had a quarterback just like him or like similar skill set as him and Cole Kelly.
It's the same built, Jace, like mm-hmm. you said. Good comparison. I could see Finley coming back to Southeastern if he's not the starter after spring.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Especially what if he lost a job in fall practice at Auburn and then transfers to Southeastern in the fall?
Yeah.
Could happen. You never know.
Yeah, and that makes a good package, too, because you can continue to have Cephas Johnson do that Taysom Hill type of role that he was in under Cole Kelly and have a guy like Cole Kelly in that quarterback form. It would be the perfect fit if he decides to do it.
Well, for the first time in the history of me doing a show, I projected 35 minutes. We're at 34-34. So
yep.
Final thoughts, Jace. What do you think? Final thoughts with Southeastern, Northwestern State, what we talked about today. Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered a lot of ground here today. I'm really excited, not just because I'm a Southeastern alum and I've called a lot of their football games, but I'm really excited about their signing class, and it shows you what the staff and Frank Selfo have really done. If they can continue to have great signing classes the next couple of years, they could be the main staple in the Southland Conference. But we'll see what Nicholls State does and Northwestern State. They have a bounce back year, but it should be interesting to follow that.
And you know what? I want to put this out there, but for coaches, I've had a lot of high school coaches ask me, Lee, why are you working with LSU, helping LSU? I hope to. I hope Poli and Frank Wilson reach out to me. I would love to help them. I did with Saban. I did the beginning of Miles. I didn't work with Orgeron, but I would have. But I've actually tried to get in touch with Coach Polian and tried to get in touch with him. And I'd love to work with those guys. I'd love to help them statewide because I'm in schools all the time and we're around these parents and try to help these schools in state. I've actually talked to Southeastern coaches.
Yep, you have. You have.
Lately, I've talked to the McNeese new staff. Love those guys. I look forward to talking to Southern and Grambling.
Yeah,
and
you've helped UOM this past year.
Yeah, with Coach Bowden. But I really would like to help LSU again.
Mm-hmm.
And did, like I said, back when Saban was there, and hopefully I'll hear back from those guys at some point. But, Jace, we're going to end the show, and next week we've got – well, not next week, but in 2 weeks we have Coach Robert Valdez on.
Yeah.
Next week we'll have another Skype show, which will be
– yeah, those we'll done see, really well.
We'll see who we get. We'll have another North Louisiana coach for next week that we'll do. So we'll hope everybody has a great weekend. And go whatever your team is. And I want to say, whether it's Go Tigers, whether Lions or whoever it is.
Yeah, it's a great time of year because basketball, we're getting close to March Madness. We're getting close to that point. Baseball starting up, and then we'll have football spring practice coming up. So
it's
good time
all,
of year.
And May is when all your college coaches descend upon high schools. Knock on wood, they'll be able to for the first time in 2 years. Because of COVID. So if you're a parent listening or a kid, dress sharp. Be on alert because in May is when the colleges come back for the first time in 2 years to your high school. And the first thing they do is they pull transcripts to check you out and they talk to the principal. Then they talk to the coach and you might see them walk in the hallway.
Yeah, make sure you're top of everything.
You don't know when they're coming. They don't even know when they're coming sometimes.
No.
So we'll check you out. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Gage has served Louisiana for over 40 years. Let Gage create a custom-tailored solution for your business and become your partner in technology. Give them a call today at 225-753-4243 and help your business get better connected with Gage.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.